This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number two. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here in downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. He is our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Hour number three, Jensen, coming up in 1 hour. Pete Blackburn is going to join us here of the What Chaos show. A lot of chaos right now in the NHL as we've opened up free agency. We'll talk about that with Pete and some of those changing numbers there. And then Gil Alexander, kind enough to hop in with us before he begins a numbers game after us here in a couple hours. So, of course, whenever we have Gil on, we can talk anything, but you know we're going to talk some tennis going on right now. It is his passion. He's really good at it. And some of those numbers going on right now at Wimbledon, day number two, as I'm looking up and seeing, yeah, they got action going on right now. I will try to give you some updates here if any big names potentially go down on day number two. But without further ado, it's hour number two, highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Big news, obviously, in the NFL is the Steelers feel like, Jensen, that they might be pushing those chips in. Maybe they're going all in. We're calling everybody in the AFC here. And Jalen Ramsey, he is coming to the Steel City. In return, Minka Fitzpatrick's going back to Miami. Jonnu Smith is also coming over with Jalen Ramsey to Pittsburgh. They swapped some later round picks as well. So now you got DK Metcalf. You got Aaron Rodgers. You got Jonnu Smith, by the way, who's reunited with Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, and those two. So get ready for a lot of Aaron Rodgers to Jonnu Smith. And then, of course, DK Metcalf, as we mentioned here, and Jalen Ramsey. What do you make of the Steelers now? Do we take them more seriously in the betting market?
I don't know if the markets really have. I know Matty Humans, when I posted the odds on DraftKings after the moves were announced, 35-1 to win the Super Bowl, I think 17-1 to win the AFC. At circa, what were they? 67 Steelers were 67 yep. to one, I think, to win it all. Interesting market here at DraftKings, Dave. You can pick the stage of elimination for teams. Right now, Steelers minus $1.60 to miss the playoffs. Mm. They are plus +330 to lose in the wild card round, plus +650 to lose in the divisional round, and then 16-1 to lose in the conference title game. I think it's remarkable, too, that if you think they get to the Super Bowl, to lose in the Super Bowl, they're the identical odds at 35-1 to lose it or to win it. So you're a little 2-for-1 right there you know, to lock that in. I don't know, buddy. I think this is such a rough and tumble top of the AFC. I know for people that are VSiN Pro subscribers are just getting their coffee and reading the NFL betting guide, which came out this morning. I know I'm very high on the Chargers. One of my write-ups in there is on LA and what Jim Harbaugh and company could do in another year. But Dave, if I were to offer you just within the AFC, Steelers right now 17-1 at DraftKings, the teams ahead of them, Chargers at 14-1, Broncos 13-1, Bengals 10-1, Chiefs 4-1, Ravens 350, Bills 350. I mean, I think we could make a case right now that there are at least six teams better than the Steelers as currently constructed.
I've already had in pocket for months now that Bengals 10-1 ticket to win the AFC. So that number is not moved here. What is interesting, too, is the overprice on the Steelers. Still 8.5. So the win total has not moved, but the juice has. Remember, you could have got plus money before these, you know, myriad of moves that they've made here in the last couple of months. Could have got plus money on the over. Can't anymore. So now it's minus $1.20 to the over. And if you wanted to get in on 9.5, because again, theoretically, to get to some of these numbers we're talking about, they got to be a 10-win team. You get the plus money at over 9.5 if you think the Steelers win 10 games, which they did a year ago without Aaron Rodgers, without Jalen Ramsey, without DK Metcalf. So on paper, it looks like a better team. And historically, we can make some comparisons to first-year quarterbacks in new places. Brett Favre took the Vikings all the way to an NFC title game, right? Tom Brady, we know about Brady, what he did year number one in Tampa Bay, winning a Super Bowl. Matty Stafford, year number one in L.A. with the Rams, won a Super Bowl. So older quarterbacks have done this. There is some precedent that's already been set here by some of these guys. And I know people don't want to say this about Aaron Rodgers, but we kind of had a lot of questions about Favre at that stage after it didn't look good with the Jets. About Matthew Stafford, why are we moving him from Detroit to L.A.? Can he still play? Tom Brady, he's washed. Remember the pick six against the Patriots? That's for the last throw he ever has a Patriot in the playoffs against the Tennessee Titans. Oh, he's done. Right? So, Jensen, some of these older quarterbacks, when you give them the pieces around them, maybe they've got pieces around Aaron Rodgers to make you a believer in some of those over numbers.
Yeah, if that's the case, then Dave, what future would you rather have in pocket? Would you want a division future at 5-1 to get in there? Or, in what world do we live in which the Steelers get the number one overall seed the AFC? That's 28-1. Well, so again, just looking at ways to monetize it, right?
Sure.
If you feel that this is a team that, you know, yet again finds their way to the promised land, is it better to have a 17-1 and then find your way up? Because if they are really good, and you know, let's say they're a 2 seed, just throwing it out hypothetical. So you have a 17-1 in pocket on the Steelers. They're going to play a home game, at least in a division round, in the wild card round, I should say. This is still a team that has to go through. We would envision a Bills team, a Ravens within the division. Even the Bengals in the division. Boy, this road feels, even with all the reinforcements that they've added.
Yeah.
This road still feels very, very difficult for them to travel.
It's a tough schedule, right? It really is a tough schedule. I tell you, the way that I would probably play it for right now to take advantage of these changing numbers in the futures markets, it might be as simple as week number one on the road against the Jets, because that number is still 3. So, like, to me, if they can't win that game in New Jersey, what exit, week one against the Jets, then they're not hitting any of those other numbers we just talked about. Like, so to me, quote unquote, I would rather lay the $1.02 week one and the 3 points against the – that's the way I'd play it, Jensen, because I think everything else gets trickier if they can't win this one in grand fashion in week one. You can't beat Justin Fields and that Jet team, which is complete turnover with Aaron Glenn at the helm there, and cover 3 in the road, then you're not a very good football team, and none of those other ones are going to go. That's probably where I'd go if I wanted to not have to worry about these changing juicy numbers in the win total, and that number is not changed. That, to me, is the best way to attack it. What do you make of that?
If we just do their first 6 weeks, how many wins do you have for that club as currently constructed?
They better get 3. They better beat the Jets, Patriots, and Browns before they go to the Bengals on Thursday night. If they don't get that, all those other numbers are going to die. They're going to die by the wayside. So, to me, I'm looking week one against the Jets. And, by the way, I bet you that number goes up. I bet you that closes closer to 4 by the time we get to kickoff there. So just throwing that out there now. If you're a Steeler believer now with all these changes, that might be the way to look for week one. Jensen, you got company. You're getting a WNBA team. They've announced, the WNBA has, that they're expanding to 18 teams, so 3 new franchises beginning in 2028 in Cleveland. That's going to be the newest team. Detroit's going to get one in 2029, and then they're coming to Philly in 2030. Now, how about this? All 3 teams have NBA ownership groups that have paid $250 million expansion fees, which is about 5 times what Golden State paid just a few years ago. Jensen, we always say it. It's why we got a show, follow the money. If there's money in it, then they're going to make it. It sounds like there's money now in the WNBA. It can't all be Caitlin Clark, but that's got to be an effect on it.
Oh, it is. And by the way, speaking of Caitlin Clark, do have an official play. Only WNBA game of the night, no Commissioner's Cup game. Lynx minus 6.5 against what has been a remarkably inconsistent Fever team with that talent. And knowing that Caitlin Clark has just been so bad. I mean, it's hard to say, but she has been so bad the last couple of weeks here, you know, coming off the injury. 6.5 here for the Lynx, minus $1.10. The price here at DraftKings, believe that one I'll lock in as we speak. But overall, bigger picture, it is really cool to see it expand. And ironically, Caitlin Clark, the big reason why, not only the viewership, but the interest, right?
Yeah.
And you said it. If there's money to be made, if there's a following to be had, you got to go for it. And I know here in Cleveland, there had been a lot of talk about it just with Indiana as our neighbors here in the great state of Ohio. So the fact that they're getting that kind of draw there at Bankers Life, we got a pretty intimate arena here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. And I think there's a lot of people with interest, especially in the Midwest, for what this product could eventually look like.
I'll tell you this too. I was in DC when the Mystics became a thing, when the league became a thing. I'm showing my age here. And it was a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal for these cities to get professional franchises. So, you know, I'm excited for if those cities are going to be excited about having basketball there in another way to watch more basketball, good for them. So if the league, because you got to remember, if we're being honest, this league was talking about folding potentially not that long ago. And now all of a sudden you look where it's flipping to with these expansion fees. That's a pretty good sign for the WNBA that it's not going to be short term. It's going to be a long term thing now with three teams coming in the next 3 years. So good on you, WNBA, and good on those new cities there that are going to be welcoming Cleveland, Philadelphia, and Detroit. By the way, if you want to bet ponies, you can always do that too. See, whatever you want to bet on, people, we are very encompassing here. You want to bet the ponies? We got you covered over at First Bet. So all you have to do right now is visit firstbet.com. That's the number one. stbet.com. Use the promo code VSIN200. You can score a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. So do not miss out. And the ponies run each and every day, and you can access those right there on your phone and or your computer when you go over to firstbet.com. More NFL talk. The betting guide is out. Also, I mentioned Jeff Schwartz. Going to hear from Jeff on Jim Harbaugh and maybe his approach to the game, and if there's a betting angle on it. That is next when you come back with us right here. It's VSiN by the Books. VSiN by the Books, mentioning, of course, that the guide is out. It's Christmas in July, July 1st for everybody here at the network. And again, we've got every single host has some write-ups about every single team out there that we see in that NFL betting guide. And by the way, as we're going to break down the NFC West here, Jensen, there is a significant move behind me at VSiN. Now, again, you go over to DraftKings, and we talk about this all the time. You got to check out multiple books here to have different options for better numbers. Kansas City opening up against the Chargers. This game is in Brazil. And right now, the Chiefs are three-point favorites. Pretty much across the board. Not at Circa. This is down to 2.5. So to get off that key number of 3 here at Circa, Jensen, tells me something that I think you're getting at, in that maybe there's some respect here in the Chargers that Circa had to move that subtle half point, but that's a big half point to go from 3 to 2.5.
Absolutely. They are still at 3 here on DraftKings. But I think I had told you when I saw this matchup come out, I really like the Chargers. Keep the points. I like the money. I like them to win outright. Plus $1.24 right now on Friday, September 5th, their standalone game. And really, the first, I think, stanza of what will be a remarkable season for the Chargers. And again, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, one of my big write-ups on the Chargers season, not only to get started, but also some futures to be able to lock in with them as well. Very high on the Chargers. I don't know if they get across the line to win the division, but I think they are certainly going to give the Chiefs all they can handle and then some. A lot of people on the Broncos, and I like that.
Yep.
I think they're a better team, but I think finally you get that big step forward for Justin Herbert, Jim Harbaugh, and company.
Okay, I love where your head's at with this team. And I love it in the context not just of the Chiefs, but also the Broncos. Because very subtly, the Broncos have kind of moved to the quasi-second betting choice in this division. Look, both teams were playoff teams a year ago, and I know the Chargers did not look good in the postseason, that's for sure. But it is reflected in the numbers. The Broncos are 3-1 to win it. The Chargers plus 310. So not a, obviously very, very close. But Jensen, I'd rather be on your side of thinking here that the Chargers are the team I trust, that I know exactly what they're going to be. Sean Payton, look, he's a dynamic offensive coach, what he did with Bo Nix year one. But it still is Herbert, and it's still Harbaugh. and it's still going to be that ground and pound. Hopefully they get a little bit better defensively. Is that why you trust the Chargers a little bit more in the betting market than the Broncos?
I just think that when you look at what Jim Harbaugh wants to do and what it takes to win late in seasons and into the postseason, what do you have to do? You have to be able to control the line of scrimmage. You have to be able to run the football. And now getting Najee Harris and getting Amarian Hampton. Remember, you and I looking into draft night, we were saying, wow, does this really give a completely different dynamic? You must focus now on a run game that is multifaceted. What did we see in Detroit, right? Yep. You had to worry about Sonic and Knuckles before you even got to what Jared Goff could do distributing the football. And I think with the emergence of what Ladd McConkey did last year, Mike Williams certainly is going to have to take a step up. Quentin Johnston is going to have to be much better as well. Circle Trey Harris out of Ole Miss. Big target, guy that can get down the field, could be someone that ends up being a difference maker for them. Will Disley is fine at the tight end spot. Tyler Conklin, I know, comes over from the Jets. But I think it is the run game and the improvements here that they will need to make on the offensive line and defensive line. If they are able to do that, buddy, this team could be a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, as a Cowboy backer, I was looking at Hampton. I would not have been mad at the Cowboys if they had drafted him before the Chargers got their hands on him. And I love your breakdown of that run game with Najee Harris coming over from Pittsburgh as well. That's exactly what Jeff Schwartz and I are now were talking about yesterday on the GM Shuffle here, Jensen, that you know the identity of Harbs, and it's something you can bet on. Take a listen to Jeff.
Every place he's been has won. I mean, this is, why is this a surprise? Everywhere he's been, San Diego, Stanford was a historically bad team when he showed up. He changed the program. Michigan, right? Had to win a championship in how many years? 40 years? Comes in there and goes to the playoff. It took him a little bit of time, but it happened. The Niners, right? Got very close to winning the Super Bowl. Everywhere he has been, he has won. There's no surprise. Look, when you win by trying to beat up your opponent, you always have a chance to win every single game. That's what the Chargers do. You can never be wrong building to punch someone in the mouth.
You can never be wrong building a team that's going to punch somebody in the mouth. That's their identity. It is like Mike McDaniel down there in Miami. He's going to fool you. He's going to trick you. And look, different ways to get it done. So, Coach McDaniel, yeah, do your thing. You want to run, five wide, and you want to spread everybody out. But really, the foundation for a Charger team, for a Jim Harbaugh team, is punch you in the face. And if you don't like it, guess what? They're going to punch you in the face again. That physicality translates. And I do think it's bettable when you look at a team like the Chargers. And by the way, they were one of my big teams last year at 8.5. Now the win total is up to 9.5 this year. But Jensen, barring injury, and you look at the offensive line, Joe Alt, we saw what he did and why he was a high pick for them a year ago. I mean, Jensen, their identity is going to be run the football, run the football, run the football some more, and then we'll get some big play shots here with Herbert. Because I know everybody's going to go, we want to see Herbert spin it, but that's not the way Harbaugh likes to win.
Yeah, and again, remember, he loves what Joe Alt did in year one. You get Mekhi Becton next to him now on the line, a huge reinforcement. Again, just think about just your power runs to the right and what that will look like. And oh, by the way, you have a specimen at quarterback, too, who can use his feet. The Dante Jackson acquisition, too, from Pittsburgh in the secondary, I think will go great with Derwin James. Here's what I think overall. Remember last year, for you Circa Millions people, opponents of the Detroit Lions the next week, mm-hmm, it was almost an auto fade, yes, on the spread because of how beaten up physically they were. That may be a theme here, Dave, that I circle very early. And think about the schedule here for the Chargers, right? It's three division games out of the chute. You will have a clear idea if the Chargers are in this thing for not only the division, but the long run. And I'm telling you, this could be one of those spots, not only from a spread perspective, but maybe even a survivor perspective. The opponents of the LA Chargers the next week, maybe a fade on the spread, also could be a fade in Survivor as well.
Yeah, they were a nice casher for me last year at 8.5 and adjusted win total of 9.5. Those numbers are gone this year. People have woken up to what Harbaugh is going to be able to do, certainly possibly in year two. How about Detroit? And again, in the write-up here, I wrote about this one here in the betting guide. And I saw that Dave Tooley also, shout out to Dave, does a great job each and every day as well. He's also with me on the Lions here. And Jensen, I think what it is for me, we're expecting the regression from the Lions. And I get it. Like, the Frank Ragnow retirement is the only thing that really concerns me, is are they going to be okay up front at guard and center? And if they figure that out, then I'm not worried at all about this football team. You're getting one of the better prices on them to win the division. And again, we'll figure out what Minnesota is. They were a big play-on team for me a year ago. I'm a little bit cautious about them this year because I don't know about J.J. McCarthy yet, right? Jared Goff, to me, has answered those questions now over multiple years in Detroit. So, look, Matty Stafford goes on to L.A. and wins the Super Bowl. We get that. But I don't have doubts about Goff. Of course he doesn't like to get hit. What quarterback does, right? So if you keep a clean pocket for him, we have literally seen games where the ball doesn't touch the ground. That's how accurate a guy like Jared Goff can be. You talked about the running game here and the identity of the coach with Jim Harbaugh. That is Dan Campbell. It is, yes, they can beat you multiple ways, but they want to beat you physically. And the defense, Jensen, to me, they're getting 5-6 starters back. Remember, you can only field 11 at a time. They lost half of their defensive starters to injury last year. And most of those guys are all coming back. Now, again, you hope that they're up to the standard they were pre-injury. But to me, if you want to get in on the win total of 11 or more at even money, I think it's a good price point. But I like them to win this division. And I've taken them to win the NFC as well at almost 6-1. Those are repressed numbers because I think people are expecting regression. I don't know that I'm expecting that much.
No, I agree. And the over 10.5 on that win total, anywhere, you know, even money or better, seeing some places that are plus $1.25. I'm absolutely with you. Like, if they get any luck from a health perspective,
yes,
imagine what they could have done last year and all the success they had last year. And I get it. A lot of the theme and the narrative is going to be you lost both coordinators. Well, you still have the head coach. You still have impressive weaponry. You have a run game that can absolutely bulldoze people at times, and you have to win ugly. They know how to do it. So I'm with you, pal. I think it's I picked them to win the NFC North in the betting guide, and I do think that win total very much a play on the over.
And again, if there's any regression, it might be slightly offensively that they're not scoring at the output, but I don't think that bothers Dan Campbell at all. Right, this isn't a greatest show on turf type thing to run up scores. He's just trying to win games. And to me, that might be a little bit more running attack, spreading the ball out a little bit, but ball control, and let the defense help you out as well with some clock management too. So maybe some more unders in Detroit's future, but I don't think that's going to mean less wins, that's for sure. Again, betting guide, it's out, $175 right now, covering you all the way through the Super Bowl. VSiN.com/subscribe. Previews of each team, all 32 from all of our hosts here on the network. Let's come back and talk some Major League Baseball. That's next.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here. Later on in the program, I do want to throw back up that the betting guide promo for people watching, because Danny Higgins, one of our producers, asked a really good question. Out of the six guys on the cover, who would you like? How would you rank those guys? And then also, conspicuous by their absence, no Dak Prescott. He doesn't make the cover for VSiN. What's up with that, Jensen? Our people know that that's America's team? That's America's quarterback. Like, just out of respect, Dak Prescott should be in the top. I'm getting some booze in my
contact ear. Do have contact information for Adam Burke, our managing editor.
I mean, how does Burkey do that to America?
If you want to register complaints, that would be the guy to go to.
No Patrick Mahomes either. That might have been the bigger omission. Let's get to today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Jensen, I want to know, these are, I believe, not your power ratings that we're going to start with in the power rankings here.
Correct.
In the top 10, but I'm going to ask you, do you concur with the rankings you're going to break down?
All right. So MLB.com does a weekly top 10 power rankings. These were as of yesterday. And I found some of these top 10, and I'll just read them for those listening. Sirius Channel 158. The Tigers, number one at 7-1. And I have their World Series futures concurrently with them. So the Tigers were the number one team, according to MLB.com. Their World Series future is still 7-1. Dodgers at 2 at +245. Cubs at 3, 14-1. And that's the one when we get done with these top 10 that I'll start with. Astros +950 are at 4, but we just learned about an injury to Jeremy Peña, which we'll highlight in News or Noise. Phillies at 5 at 8-1. Do agree with them in the top 5. Yankees at 6-1 at 6. Eh. Rays at 22-1 at 7. Oh, boy. The Mets at 10-1 at number 8. And the Brewers and Padres, 9 and 10, respectively, both at 40-1. So let's start with the Cubs at 14-1. Can you buy stock in a rotation that is probably not going to have Justin Steele the rest of the year?
Mm.
As Shota Imanaga back, but has had injuries already this year. Your potential in a division, let's say they get a top two seed. Your potential opening three in the rotation are Shota Imanaga, Matthew Boyd, and Cade Horton.
Oh,
that's your starting three. And you're telling me there's a number three overall power rated team, according to MLB.com. So I have issues with that. I have a challenge flag for you on that one. The other one is the Yankees at 6-1 at number 6. I right now, I would put the Rays over the Yankees as far as the power rankings go. Now, all that being said, I would absolutely take the Rays at 22-1 for their World Series price, considering where the American League is. The Phillies at 8-1 feel short, man. I think that that's an intriguing spot there. And Zach Wheeler, just another masterclass yesterday in the shutout of the Padres. Of those top 10, according to MLB.com, Dave, I'll throw it back to you. One or two teams you would love to buy some stock in at their current World Series future price.
Well, I'll say this. I think you identified the one that I would have the most issue with, and that's the Cubs at 14-1 as the third power rating, if you will. I don't see that either. The pitching is just – the lineup is fantastic. We get that. I just think they're devoid of it. That's too short of a number for me to play at 14-1. Of course, I'm interested in the Mets at 10-1, but I got to be honest with you, man. I've got real concerns there now with the pitching staff. And again, that was the preseason issue that we thought the Mets were going to have. And then it felt like it was answered, and now they're coming back to kind of rear their ugly head. So, like, is Sean Manaea, if he comes back, when he comes back, is he going to be enough? Is Frankie Montas going to be as good as he looked in start number one? Paul Blackburn, what are you getting out of him? I don't know that 10-1 is long enough for me to play. Boy, the Padres at 40-1 are a team I always want to back, Jensen, but they kind of feel like they're just stuck in the mud too. So I feel like the sum of the parts in San Diego are not equaling the whole of what I think they should be. So if you made me grab a number, I might grab it for that and play a numbers game. But I'm with you in the Rays. I think 22-1 for a longer shot feels like they might have some staying power. Bad loss yesterday to the A's. Rasmussen, I was just talking about how great he's been. He gets shelled yesterday against the A's there. But maybe the Rays would be a look at 22-1.
Yep. And the only other team I'd buy in right now, the Brewers at 40-1. Because for whatever reason, they find a way, man. They are very Rays-esque in that ilk of you get that ticket, you get it into a division round. Oh, boy. It could be a headache for some teams, no doubt about it.
We talked a lot about best record in the majors for the year. And again, we understand why the Dodgers are going to be on the short list here. And you got to lay some juice to get that home. If you look at some of these longer shot numbers, Jensen, is there still anything? I know you are way ahead of this curve. Is there any number that you still think is playable?
Yeah, and again, just for people that are new to this market, you also have to consider motivation here, and that's why I think Detroit is out for me. They and LA are both at 53-32 entering play today, tied for the best record in big league baseball. Astros at 14-1. They're only 2.5 back about those teams right now. And they may be forced to play through the finish line with where, you know, the Mariners are hard charging. We'll talk about the Jeremy Peña injury coming up. The other numbers that stuck out to me, the Cubs are 3.5 back. They're 19-1. If you think that they're going to go for it, and they should, and they go out and make a splash move, and I'll just throw a name out there. Let's say they go for Sandy Alcantara, and he is now your headliner atop their rotation. Okay, now you can convince me that we've got some buying power. The other one that stands out, and again, we're going to hit him again. The Toronto Blue Jays at one point were 400-1.
Ooh.
400-1, Dave, for the best record in Major League Baseball. They're 6.5 back. of the Tigers and the Dodgers as we enter play today, and they're 170-1. You want a pizza money play? Not mad at you about it. They've already said, Ross Atkins, their GM, said yesterday, we are buying at the deadline. It's open, man. It's there. And so those are numbers right now, I think, in the back half, Dave. Maybe the Padres, I mean, they're 7.5 out right now. I just don't know what you get from a reinforcement standpoint there. Anxious to see it. But the two numbers I would play, if you want to play it, I'd play the Cubs at 19-1, and I'd play the Blue Jays at 170-1.
By the way, do you like that the GM comes out now and says,
sure,
don't call me about Max Scherzer, right? Don't call me about, like, we're pushing chips in, and guess what, Toronto? Get excited. Second half of the year is going to be pretty fun. You don't mind that he puts those cards on the table?
Dana Brown did it last year with the Astros, I think at the end of May, because people were like, oh, you're going to sell? And he's like, sell. We're not selling. We're buying. So he put it out there early, and that means a lot in the clubhouse. No question about it.
Yeah, it should matter in that betting market too. Great numbers there for the Blue Jays. You want bombs, and we got guys that can hit them. And so we're getting close to the 4th of July here, Jensen. What do you have in this market?
Yeah. Okay. So more fireworks on display coming here in the second half of the season. These are numbers, and again, these are pizza money plays. If you want to jump in, this is via DraftKings. They have the most regular season home run market up there, and these are some distant plays as far as odds go. Of course, Aaron Judge, Cal Raleigh. Cal Raleigh, by the way, hitting number 33 last night. I do think he slows down a little bit, and I do think the wear and tear of playing catcher eventually comes up with him. These are the three guys that really stand out to me. And Dave, with the way conditions are at Wrigley Field, and if Pekar Armstrong, again, if you have a big long shot today, I know Mitch Moss does for MVP. If you didn't get in on the long shot number, this is the number to get on it, because if he's going to win MVP in the National League, you got to believe he's going to have to hit 45, maybe 50 homers. So 150-1, not a bad idea. Eugenio Suarez, all dependent on Dave, where he ends up going. He could get traded if Arizona continues to slide. Although I do think Arizona gets back on the right side here tonight again. And not only a win last night over Logan Webb, but I think they do it again tonight. Kyle Schwarber, 30-1. Never a bad idea.
Right.
The guy, when he gets hot, it is atomic red hot, man. I mean, it is a guy that just hits everything out to every part of the ballpark, no matter where he's at. So again, pizza money plays if you want to jump in, but these were numbers as I was looking last night that really stuck out to me.
You know, Cal Raleigh's going to be in the Home Run Derby coming up July 14th. He's going to be an all-star. He's going to be named to that team. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You talk about tiring in the second half. Does that concern you if you're a Mariners backer that he's going to be participating in all this stuff here coming up in All-Star weekend or week?
Yeah, and remember, it's in Atlanta too, buddy. Yeah. So it's going to be hot, be humid.
Like, you'd like the break, if we're being honest.
If nothing else, just because of the position he plays, right? And anxious to see what kind of energy expended for him and how long he goes in that Home Run Derby as well.
We're rooting for you. Some of us have tickets on the Mariners at over 6-1 to win the division. So just saying, rest is not a bad thing either. ProfitX are offering the best odds on baseball all season long. They're a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40 or more states, a first of its kind here in the United States. You'll be able to make those sports picks against other groups of fans rather than the books. That exchange is going to guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today. Use the code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your very first month. Okay, when we come back, we do have to get to news or noise. We don't believe in jinxes. No such thing as a jinx. We talked about Jeremy Peña yesterday. The conversation we have today is very, very different. We'll explain when you come back with us. News or noise is next. VSiN by the Books, going to have Pete Blackburn and Gil Alexander joining us in hour number three. Going to talk some hockey with Pete. And, of course, with Gil, you know we're going to talk some Wimbledon going on day number two over there at the All England Club. Jensen, do you believe in curses? Are you a curse guy, superstitious guy?
I was a superstitious guy in my ascent to the major leagues. I think I told you the story when I rattled off 25 and a third straight scoreless in AA to get to AAA. Had to do some things on and off the field uh-huh. the same exact way to keep that streak alive. So, I'm a believer because I know it works firsthand. I also am one of those people, don't ever, ever, ever put your hand in my glove, my pitching glove. You want to talk about being, you know, sent to Alligator Alcatraz real quickly. That's going to do it. That is, don't even do it. Don't even think about it. If you want to ask for permission, like, okay, but I have
that's
real
your
reservations
glove.
About that.
And you're not touching the glove. Wow. I love it. Yep. That's kind of like, who was it with the, you couldn't touch their Adrian Beltre.
Oh, Adrian Beltre. Don't touch his head, man.
Can't touch his head. Like he's going to fight you. If you touch his head.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could be a very nice guy until you touch his head. Then all bets are off.
All enemies, foreign and domestic, for Adrian Beltre.
That's going to lead us with that mantra into news or noise.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise.
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. This is noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
So again, America, if you're an Astros backer and you want to blame this on me and Jensen, go right ahead. You can do that if you want to call it the announcer jinx. Because we spoke about yesterday how, and you specifically said, Jeremy Peña has got to get more credit for this Astros run, which has been a great run in the first half of the year. And right when we were speaking glowingly about Jeremy Peña, he got hurt, placed on the IL. So he's got a small fracture in one of his ribs on his left side. So easy for us to say that it's just a small fracture. X-rays taken Friday didn't show the injury, but a CT scan did. So, Jensen, news or noise? If you're an Astros bettor out there, is this significant news or just a little bit of noise in the short term?
Well, he's eligible to come off the IL on July 8th. And I'm going to read you the statement from general manager Dana Brown there of the Astros. He says, from talking to doctors, there's some NFL players that play with this, but it's a pain tolerance thing. If he feels like he's fine after a week, we'll start some baseball activity. We can give him some things to do, and he might be able to play through it as it heals. This isn't one of those things where you have to be sidelined the whole time. Once the inflammation goes down, he might feel good enough to swing a bat. It's more how much he can tolerate, which means he could come back soon after the 10 days. That's why he's on the trip. They're on the road right now to get treatment and maybe potentially get back as soon as he can. So there will be a corresponding roster move today for him. But it sounds best case, sounds like he could come back after the minimum stay on the injured list. Reading the tea leaves, Dave, I think he's out through the All-Star break.
Yeah,
if they're being conservative, and because we obviously know what he's meant so much to them thus far, and you just don't want it to affect mechanically. It's a fine line pain tolerance wise. We'd say as pitchers, you throw through soreness, you obviously can't throw through pain. If this is a pain tolerance thing, especially with the rib cage and how everything is interconnected from the swing, and he plays a premium defensive position at shortstop, I think they err on the side of caution here, just knowing how critical he's been to their success.
Okay, a couple points. One, I love the transparency. Like, normally, what do you normally get from a GM, right? I'm not a doctor. Like, we could talk to the doctors, right? Now, this is kind of like Jerry Jones. Like, Jerry Jones gets a bad rap all the time. Remember when Tony Romo famously got injured on the Monday night, and he did the live interview with Lisa Salters, and it sounded like it was Dr. Jones. Well, we're going to get an MRI done on Tony and see if that. And then, like, he went through all the medicals, and we're like, what are you doing? You're the owner. So this is the GM giving you a pain threshold update on your star shortstop. I'm not mad at you. I like it. Now that we know what it is, in great detail, by the way, is that setting the table that, hey, if you can suck it up, then we want you to play sooner than later. Because I'm kind of with you. I'd shut him down even if he wants. Because you got to think the tough guy mentality is, I want to get out there with my guys. I'm with you. Shut him down through the All-Star break. Give him all that time to rest during the break. And then see if he's ready to go in about 3 weeks.
Yeah. And again, just to give you an idea where the Astros are here. In Colorado, again, starting today, you should be able to take care of business there. the Dodgers series is tough to, yep. to not have one of your best players. So that over the weekend, that'll sting. Then they come home against the Cleveland Guardians, who you and I can hit better than right now. So, you know, it may be one of those scheduling spots too. Remember, they said he can come off on the 8th. All right. So that would be game two of the series against Cleveland at home. They have an off day on Thursday, July 10th. So I feel that, again, the player is probably going to be like, I want to play. And yeah. totally understand and respect that. You're six games up on the Mariners right now. I think they take this through the road trip, evaluate him when he gets back home on that Monday. If he is eligible and he's in best case scenario, they may activate him. You don't have to activate him there on the 8th. You could buy another couple of days with the off day on that Thursday, maybe have him come back with that final series if you want. But again, I think knowing that he's already out for the road trip and potentially the first game or two of that series against Cleveland, you may just err on the side of caution here, knowing you got a comfortable leader at the Mariners right now.
They're minus 340 to win the West. You mentioned that six-game lead over the Stros, by the way, or excuse me, over the M's. The Mariners right now, you need about plus 350 to win the division here at DraftKings. Since you have a little bit of wiggle room to play with, I'm with you, kind of err on the side of caution, but is this team the way they're equipped now, getting Pena back for the second half? Because it doesn't feel like it's certainly a long-term thing, maybe just the majority of July thing, that you get him back and you're hoping that you get Yordan back here at some point. Is that enough to go to battle the rest of the way with your guys at these price points, or do you think they still have to get more reinforcements before the deadline?
Yeah, they're probably going to be everyone is going to look at back. I mean, they're very right-handed heavy. Like, just getting Yordan back will offset a little bit. There's been some discussion, you know, potentially like a Ryan O'Hearn type left-handed bat that could DH. Victor Caratini's done a lot of it for them right now. Their rotation headlined by Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. I mean, they're in great spot at the top there. They have had injury concerns, so I would fully expect them to be involved in the starting pitching market. They may have the best 1-2 punch right now in baseball in the back end with Josh Hader and Brian Abreu.
Yeah.
They've had some real nice contributions from some other leverage reliever guys, Stephen Oker, Bennett Souza, Brian King. So I think they're going to also look at potentially guys that could get back off the injured list, but I think they'll be in the market, and Dana Brown has kind of, you know, made it apparent they'll be aggressive where they need to. And just again, the backdrop here, Dave, is it's a wide open American League. So they're going to do everything to try and fortify themselves and get into that top two spot to get that first round bye.
The only other team in that division with a winning record is the Seattle Mariners at 44-40. The Angels a game under 500, right? The Rangers three games under. Is this just a two-horse race? If you're really trying to monetize that division, is it just Houston and Seattle going forward?
I think it is. And again, just trying to look at any possible way that you feel, you know, that. Yeah, I can't see it, buddy. If you are, and again, same exercise we've done before.
Yeah.
If you think another team is going to get in here, like right now, Texas is 35-1 to win the American League. The Angels are 200-1. I think that's the only other way you can go in this division, because then you'll have monetizing opportunities as early as the wild card round.
I mean, I'd bet the Angels if they had some guy named Shohei Ohtani. But unless that's happening, I'm probably going to stay away. But yeah, I'm looking at that and thinking maybe the Mariners, and I'll be intrigued too. Do you think the Mariners, I know like last year this time, they made the Randy Rosarena trade. A good player. Good player helps you out. But do you think they have to make a bigger move this year if Seattle's really going to get back at plus, you know, what, 350 to win the division?
Not necessarily. Let's get to the All-Star break and start the, because usually you'll get a lot of chatter starting to come out about names that are really surfacing on the trade market. And then we'll see kind of where teams are from a clarity standpoint.
It's going to be fascinating because, again, looking at other teams in the American League that I think we thought would be players and maybe they're not anymore, could be teams like Minnesota, teams like Kansas City. We'll figure out what Red Sox, obviously they've already gone massive youth movement there. So it's going to be interesting what teams are actually going to have pieces available for teams like the Mariners and or the Astros there in the arms race and or to get those sticks in the lineup. So Going to be fascinating. When we come back to begin hour number three, we're going to have Pete Blackburn join us here. Big move yesterday in the NHL. Mitch Marner is out in Toronto. He's here in the desert. How does that affect the futures numbers here in the NHL? Free agency is underway. And also going to have Gil Alexander join us on set to break down Wimbledon. Hour number three, straight ahead. It's VSiN by the books.